Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And I have a question for you. So last episode, we talked about how we went to Disney World.
Yes.
Went on a lot of rides.
Yes.
If there were some sort of Star Trek amusement park or some ride ideas you have.
Oh, there'd be a wormhole one for sure.
Mm.
There
would that be like a roller coaster or?
I think it would.
Okay.
Maybe with some weird flashes.
Okay. There.
Of some characters that are familiar but saying odd and ominous things, mm-hmm. like the prophets would.
Yep.
I think there would be some sort of Jeffrey's tube something. Or maybe that would be like where you put small children to play, playground with like the different ladders and chutes and things mm-hmm. like that. What else would be good? Some sort of away mission gone wrong. Like there has to be a shuttle. It has to explode and these sort of like beam out
mm-hmm.
or something. And
would there be anything tied to a specific movie or episode? Sort of like in Disney World, Disneyland, where you have like Peter Pan. It's all about Peter Pan and you're going through the story.
I don't know. That doesn't have to be a Borg thing.
No, yeah.
Well, 359 could be a roller coaster.
Okay.
As you're getting onto your escape pod.
Star Trek Las Vegas used to have basically like the promenade or an immersive restaurant.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think it'd be fun to have like 10 forward.
Yeah, as a specific bar.
Yeah.
I feel like the promenade would have to be like a whole courtyard
yeah.
of different shops.
Yeah.
Like someone has to be selling Jumja sticks.
Mm.
There has to be a Klingon restaurant.
Yeah.
Serving gah/pasta.
Yep. Red pasta.
Yes.
Is beet red pasta.
Gah in blood wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I can come up with on the fly.
I think maybe an immersive ride where you're going through it. I think it would be fun to do like Wrath of Khan and go through that movie sort of in like those free floating cars like Ratatouille.
As long as you get like an animatronic Kirk just yelling, Khan.
Yes. Like you're down on the Genesis planet. You see hot David Marcus.
Yeah.
Who comes back several times in the DC comics because I got that local comic lot. And I swear there are like three different covers where they're like, David Marcus is back. And I'm like, but he's been back already, baby. Like, we've seen him. This isn't news. But that was exciting because I talked about the Starlog magazines last episode. I got a bunch of Star Trek comics and filled out like the DC Volume 2 run completely. And I'm missing like one or two issues of Volume 1, which we'll get to eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll find it at some point.
Yeah, but we'll cover those two because I think it'd be fun. It's a lot of TOS content. But I have all of TNG, like the DC The Next Generation run, except for one annual, I think.
Oh, that's the run. I remember you saying you were missing one annual. So.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So not bad.
No.
I think I spent like $42 or something in total for everything.
A shit ton of comics.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot. Logs.
Yeah. So we're starting our coverage of Star Trek Starfleet Academy.
With a fantastic number one issue.
Yes. So this is one of the, I think, earlier titles that they started.
December 96?
Yeah.
And it takes place during Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
Because in issue 3, there's a reference to
some episodes.
Yeah. I want to say it was like the mid-season cliffhanger episodes.
Mm-hmm. So what? Just like with other Star Trek comics, we're going to have to take this as it's written, like the show is still ongoing while this comic is coming out.
Right.
So it's hard to nail characterizations as we know them and we've digested them for like almost 30 years. I know. So we're going to have to keep that in mind because there is a familiar character in this series.
Who do we know that went to Starfleet Academy?
Yes. So
Nog.
We're going to have to keep all these names straight. Do you remember all the names? I remember Matt Decker.
Matt Decker is the dude with the Nate gray hair.
He's very stereotypical white male.
Yes. Naturally, he has to be the leader.
Yes.
Has the pedigree and everything. Pava, her is the Andorian woman. Her full name always seems a surprise when I see it, so I just have to remember Pava. We have Tapriel. So T apostrophe, but instead of like Tapau or Tapring, it's Tapriel.
Yeah, there's like an additional vowel in there I wasn't expecting.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I'm glad it's not just me.
No.
And then there's Kamala.
Like the former vice president.
Yes. Oh, things would be so much better if she were president. Mm-hmm. So she, half Arab, half Jewish.
Yeah, which is really interesting. We'll get into that too.
Yeah.
As she's going on that journey and describing things.
So she and Tapriel have the same hair color. So
yeah.
He has the long braids and wraps, sort of like Danny Moonstar.
Mm-hmm. And Tapriel has the pointed ears.
Yes. So, yeah.
And this is written by Chris Cooper, who wrote the Pages of the Darkhold series from earlier in the 90s. He was an editor at Marvel. He is known as the Central Park birder because of racism.
Well, yes.
but he does a lot of great work now in terms of ornithology and birding in general, which I think is really cool. Like, his career trajectory, what a dream for me.
Do you think he would ever talk to us?
Maybe. I know that he doesn't do many comic related things anymore because it's just not his life anymore.
Oh,
which I respect.
I mean, that's, I'd be happy to talk about birds.
True. It's just one of those things. And I was thinking of this the other week when it came to like classic rock acts, how they've played the same songs for decades and decades. Like, even when you're like, this is from our new album, no one wants to hear it. Oh. So I think the same way as some of these people who've been getting questions about comics for years and years, and podcasting has really given them, on one hand, a new platform to chat about their creations because magazines don't exist anymore and right. Blogs don't really exist anymore. People don't go to a blog to read much anymore because a lot of it is garbage. A lot of those, I won't name names, but a lot of those sites out there, it's like 10 things you never noticed about Assassin's Creed. And it's like, this is just one person's perspective. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I did notice them. so you get more exposure, but you're talking about the same things. Like, they're very generous people with their time going on many podcasts, but you start to hear the same anecdotes over and over again. Right. So I think maybe we could get Chris Cooper if we were like, talk about Star Trek.
And birds.
And bird people. I hope he writes some bird aliens in this later on.
Oh.
This is one of the longest running Marvel Star Trek series from the Paramount imprint.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because it started so early. So
I see.
Yeah. So other series, Star Trek Unlimited, RIP at 10 issues. DS9, RIP at like 15.
I think so.
Where they're like, don't worry, a miniseries is coming up, and it never did. I feel this gets like 18 issues or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Not bad. So why don't you kick us off with issue number one?
All right. So Prime Directives is the name of this issue. And it starts with a big reptilian-looking alien. And in the reflections of his eyes, there's Matt Decker. And it's just menacing some cadets. And it's what we find is a drug source for cadets. And the saliva from this creature seems to like enhance intelligence and thought processes, but it also will fuck you up.
Yeah.
So there's been a bunch of cadets that end up in the morgue or the sanitarium. There are mutagenic reactions. And it's a whole like drug ring thing. So he's down there, Decker's down there with his friend in like the funky, very pillowy looking cadet outfit.
Mm.
The friend has a regular looking uniform. So we find out that this is a whole sting operation, that the cavalry is arriving. It's Starfleet security. Someone named Carson starts to run away, who was acting as like the seller, the go-between, the mouth, if you will, even though he doesn't have all the teeth and
Like the
the
mouth.
scary tongue like the Jenkith does.
Or the mouth of Sauron.
Oh.
He had a lot of teeth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he did. So there's a fight scene, there's a whack. Matt Decker, you amaze me. That was quite the rescue. What are best friends for? And they're thinking, oh, we're gonna be heroes, we can be in the same squad in the academy.
Yep, because it was another white man.
No, he's I think Japanese.
Okay.
It's his friend Yoshi.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
And I think we get to Yoshi's last name in the dressing down of these two
Okay.
cadets. Oh, it's not quite as good as sheer fucking hubris, but it is still a stern talking to from a crabby older lady who is my jam.
Yeah, it really is the joy you get whenever there's a crabby old lady.
Like the peak was the Dax episode in season one of DS9, the Bajoran Magistrate. Loved her. Yoshi Mishima
All right,
is
so
his
not
name.
another white dude.
No, but they are best friends. And
BFFs that are n not going to be paired up together.
nope, Commander Zund is a Trill with a fancy headband, and she is paired. Bring him up with Omega Squadron. So Kamala Goldstein, Pava Eknur, Akaba of Andor, Tapriel of Vulcan, and Nog of Ferenginar.
Hey, it's Nog. And
It is who's being terrorized by Boothby's dog.
he's like, get that thing away from me.
It has so many teeth. And then the dog licks his ear and he's like, oh, it tickles. So there's some bonding over. Like, can't be easy being the only Ferengi or the first Ferengi in Starfleet. But Nog is just full of enthusiasm. And the team isn't all that into him.
No.
So Pava is in his quarters wearing nothing. We get a silhouette with some blue highlights.
We need a sexy lady in this first issue.
I bet this happened to Monet a bunch of times of like, oh, a hot lady, we have to take all her clothes off.
But there's also in DS9 in issue 14, 14, right? Or 15 with Lita in the shower.
Yeah.
It's the 90s.
Ugh.
Fuck. I mean, take us back so we can correct the mistakes. But also, this is so stereotypical 90s.
Yeah.
I did send it pictures of this to Demanda.
So Pava is trying to make Nog feel welcome, like she knows that Ferengi women don't wear clothes. So she's like, oh, I want to make you feel comfortable as I get to know an alien culture. I was an exchange student. I get it. And after all, what harm could it do? This is how Ferengi males see their sisters and mothers. And Nog is like, and their mates. And Pava's pissed and she just kicks him across the room out into the hallway.
It's hard to describe how horny Nog is.
For being as far into DS9 as it is, like that part is a little bit surprising that he hasn't adapted to like, oh, only Ferengi females would be naked and that would be appropriate. Like I can't go around expecting all females to chew my food and sit there and not talk.
Yeah, we'll get into the food chewing later.
Yeah. So we get a little bit of background for Andorians. They're warriors, very passionate. You've had the merest taste of this of the violence. You'll taste the passion only if and when I choose. Decker comes in and he's like, we are not going to be friends. You should transfer away. So we meet Kamala and Tapriel. Kamala is doing a holodeck sequence. She's done a lot, and it's the Six-Day War,
Oh,
which seems really rough given the current situation.
yeah.
That's where we get the background of she's done both sides.
I mean, I guess back then we were still less than 20 years removed from President Carter helping broker peace.
Yeah, and I feel like Clinton did something,
Yeah. So
hosted some talks.
better days in the 90s.
Maybe. But it's an interesting choice.
Yes. Because at first I saw her punching people and I'm like, is she punching Nazis? Because this would be wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
Yes.
I w was very sad by the lack of Bedknobs and Broomsticks,
At
with
Disney
at
World.
Disney World with suits of armor punching Nazis. And but apparently, like, the Christian right is going after that movie because of witchcraft. That's
I'm
a
sure
thing.
they started going after it during the Satanic Panic in the 1970s.
Isn't that when it would have come out?
No, Satanic Panic was later 70s.
But wasn't Bedknobs and
That
Broomsticks
was like
then?
71.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's barely any Mary Poppins, just to be clear. There was a wonderful picture frame.
Yeah, you got your photo frame. We still
Yeah.
need to download our pictures.
Yes, when I'm at a computer. I also got one of the penguin waiters,
You
a
did.
stuffed penguin waiter that was like limited edition.
You were very excited about it.
They're just so cute.
And there wasn't even any Chernabog representation. The only Fantasia was in the PhilharMagic with
Yeah.
the Sorcerer's Apprentice, which is blown.
I got you a pin. I found the one
Oh, that's
Chernabog
true.
merch.
You
It's
did.
an enamel pin. We don't know what to do with pins, but I'm like, here you go.
Yeah.
Happy honeymoon. I got you a Chernabog pin.
Who's not having a happy honeymoon is this Federation officer in the Klingon First Contact.
So
So,
they're going through first contact scenarios.
it's their first ethics class. So they are going to be all assigned to different first contact scenarios, one that they know of, one that they should know of, and one that they've never experienced before. So it's all setting up for a holodeck experience. Nog has been making some oblique references to a package from Uncle Quark
Yep.
that should bring him great profit.
Oh, never a good thing to hear.
Especially when, like, Nog has already admitted he doesn't have the lobes for profit.
Yep.
So, there's some dude being a jerk and trying to menace Nog right in his face. So Decker comes to his aid and is like, but it's still like, we're not friends and we never will be, ever. Just stay away from me until 0800 hours when our squad's training session begins in Holodeck 7, if you're still in the academy. And then there's a crestfallen Nog. So it is Holodeck 7 at 0800 hours.
They're there on time.
They are. So this is all about doing prime directive things. They're sort of shoved in, and Kamala is sort of like, don't be so wowed. It's just a holodeck. We know our mission.
So they have three.
Yes.
They've been prepared.
Yes.
They've been told, like, all right. Here are the three sort of scenarios you'll face.
Yes, a simulated encounter with an actual race taken from the database of races you should have studied last night, an encounter with one of the hypothetical races in your case study text, an encounter for which you have had no opportunity for advanced preparation.
Which would you rather do?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably the case study one.
I think so too.
You get a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah.
So there's some place, there's a platform with some orbs. And Kamala's like, hold on, these are Xantorians. It's an insult to walk directly towards a person, diagonal steps only. So they start to do stuff appropriate to the situation.
Right.
But then there's an electric storm coming. They're out in a big field, so they have to drop so they don't get electrocuted. And then all of a sudden, there's Gorn. So things are not going as they're supposed to from what
Yeah.
we're given with the context. It doesn't help that the next panel is Commander Zund on the outside with what the devil is going on in there with some engineers like hydro spanning open a computer panel. They should have used the self-sealing stem bolt. So the comm frequencies are jammed. They can't be transported out. They can't cut power because they don't know what situation the cadets are in there. So Kamala tries to reason with the Gorn and does everything correct.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, surprise, I'm not that type of Gorn, though. I'm Gorn trouble level four or whatever it is.
You have offended us. You must die. So Pava saves Kamala. T'Priel has her tricorder of like, okay, here's the situation. Everything's being jammed. What's happening? And Pava starts to kick ass. It's great. So they fight the Gorn, they grab some disruptors, and they retreat to try and figure out what's happening. So computer's not responding. We find out that Nog had an expander program from Quark that he installed in the holodeck's randomizer to make it everything seem more real. Therefore, if he could sell it to the cadets and get for them to get more practice to excel, since there seems to be an appetite, a black market for things that will help cadets advance, as established by the drugs in the first few pages, he would have made great profit. But we find out that Nog deleted the expander after unsuccessful test runs. So something is happening. The computer is still acting up, even though it shouldn't. And then Nog realizes every Ferengi knows you should only negotiate with the person with the authority to give you what you want. We should be making first contact with the holodeck computer. Womp womp, he created an artificial intelligence in the holodeck computer. How? You'd think Starfleet would have more safeguards against this by now. How many runaway holodeck episodes have we had?
I mean, Kirk cheated at the Kobayashi Maru at Starfleet Academy. You think they would have maybe put like more locks on a panel, like more screws, something in there to help out,
But no.
but no.
Kamala points out we've got to make contact with the computer. And that's but how? It's ignoring all verbal cues, scamming all standard channels. And they end up using the subcutaneous transmitter that was in Matt Decker's finger.
How he got rescued the first time, Nog is like, I can do Morse code on your finger.
I've studied it before.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yes.
Is it like Data's fingernail? You know, where you
Maybe.
can peel that off?
Oh, there's something just not great about that image. So they send a message, everything disappears, and the computer says, "You are. You mean we exist? We think. Yes." The computer says, "I am also. Apologies and farewell." And it just disappears. I don't know where it went. It isn't explained. And then afterwards, we get a message with Decker and Nog of like, we won't be friends, but perhaps we can at least work together. And Boothby and Zund are off to the side of like, this is why we put them together. Like all the threats that we faced, the Borg, the Dominion, it'll take a new breed of officer to make sure the Federation and Federation ideals survive. And maybe these cadets will be up to the task. At the very least, they should be full of surprises, which is a nice setup for the whole run. So T'Priel goes to their quarters. Kamala thinks she hears crying from inside, but T'Priel,
She's like, no, I'm fine. I'm not crying.
and it sounds normal and appropriate. And in the mirror is a Romulan spy. So there's some sort of like,
Subterfuge.
yes,
Hijinks.
because of course the Vulcan is actually a Romulan spy.
Yes.
And that's the first issue.
So I looked up on, Wikipedia. There are no citations for some of this, but it does say 19 issues. We get 19, not 18, like I said, which is great. It says, along with Star Trek early voyages, the two were the most popular of Marvel's brief stint of Star Trek publishing. So Also, this is approximately 6 months behind television continuity.
Okay.
If that helps us place it.
I guess they probably wouldn't have had the scripts ahead of time.
No, and that's why I really need to get some of these people. Oh, I forgot his name, the liaison. We need to reach out to these people. We need to... Chip Carter.
Yeah.
Chip Carter needs to come on so he can talk, like, did they provide scripts, like, or rough drafts or outlines or anything?
Because in the credits, there is not a Star Trek liaison person.
I think that we'll have to see as the series goes on
if it's added in.
Yeah. So, Star Trek Starfleet Academy issue 2, the women of the Academy in a barroom brawl.
I mean, on brand for Pava based on what we've learned in the first issue.
Yes. So setting it up, we know we're going to get a focus on the ladies of the team, which is, I think Star Trek is really good at paying attention to balancing out stories. And that started in TNG, I feel.
Yeah.
Where you would get like Troy stories, Crusher stories, Pulaski stories.
Like, there weren't as many as there should be.
Yeah.
Because there were so few of two.
Yeah.
Compared to all the male characters. Also need their own character episodes. Yeah.
I think it got better in later seasons. Like, you can think of a lot more Troy and Crusher episodes in later seasons.
Yeah. Because by that point, they realized, like, oh, they shouldn't just be a potted plant.
Yes. So on the planet Vulcan, T'Priel is about to learn exactly who she is. If she lives long enough to find out, she has a knife, she's in a robe. The title of the issue is called Liberty. She is fighting a Lamatia. It's a Vulcan predator. It is like a panther. It looks like it's from He-Man.
It has an apostrophe in the name because, of course, it does.
No, it has a dash.
Oh.
Lamatia. So it's a little French.
Oh, we should see if it's consistent throughout, because I thought it was an apostrophe later.
So she's fighting this creature, and then she's like, if I stab it through the eye into the brain, I'll kill it. But then she misses, and from behind her, someone phases it. And it is T'Lark.
Her dad.
Yes. Although she says, T'Lark, you found me, and not father, you found me. She's given some life lessons, but then like this Romulan vision pops up in the background.
Yeah.
So we're like, what is this?
We've seen those carpeted shoulder pads before.
Yeah. And then the Lamatia springs forth and attacks again. And she sort of comes to, like, she's been daydreaming. And she... and Kamala,
sure, I don't know,
they're in an Australian bar because they have some free time, so they phase transported on over.
Yes, so Liberty is their first shore leave type situation. Yeah.
Their weekend. They get to
leave base. Yeah. Yeah,
and they're like, let's go to an Australian bar and have some drinks. And It's sort of seedy.
Pava's doing arm wrestling with people.
Yeah, and people are getting Sumerian sunsets, which we know from TNG.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, like, flick it just the right way to get it to sunset. But,
Doesn't Quark also make one of those for his Cardassian lover who is no longer interested in him?
Maybe.
That's a good episode.
So, our Andorian friend,
Pava,
thank you. It'll take me a few episodes to get used to all their names. Pava gets hit on because of this drink. But she's having a great time.
Yeah.
She's showing off her strength.
She's serving Xena warrior princess vibes.
Back at the Academy, we have, what's that game called? It's like, it's like pickleball. But this is anti-grav.
Yes.
Racquetball. So.
Not as good as spring ball, the Bajoran version.
Yeah. This is Decker talking to people, like, sort of using his influence. Like, his dad's an admiral.
Yeah. He's got that pedigree.
Yep.
Do you think he has a mid-Atlantic accent?
Probably.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Nog's not too bad. And this is basically when he's told, like, you should just like be co-workers with Nog, like don't let it go further.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, the use him to advance, but don't like get attached to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's given Nog free rein of his quarters to like read stuff.
Yeah, because Nog also has nowhere to go. And we sort
Yeah.
of find out that even though he is the scion of an admiral, he doesn't have anywhere to go for his first weekend of shore leave.
Yeah. Back in Sydney, this is where the arm wrestling comes in. And Pava's drawn away by Kamala.
Oh yeah, she's giving people a show for the arm wrestling before she wins, and she's like, "Oh, we have to go." Bam, I
Yeah.
won.
And then a barroom brawl breaks out, which is fun.
Yes. We also get a drunk patron at the bar, sort of in a Morin type role where he's super drunk. And no one wants to talk to him because he just talks about how his species has such great powers of perception that he can tell the difference between all these species. And in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, Vulcans and Romulans are close, but not quite. Will he know?
Back at the academy, Matt Decker goes back to his quarters and he sees that Nog has opened up his comic book collection and he's like, "What are you doing? They were hermetically sealed." And Nog's like, "Well, why do you have them if you're not reading them?" Chris Cooper coming in with a sharp criticism of slabbing comics.
It's true, but there's an X-Men number one in there. There's
Yep.
some Captain Americas.
There are Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
Decker tosses Nog out and he's like, "Get out of my life." And this is mirrored by Sydney, and the bar patron getting tossed out for bar fighting,
Yeah.
saying, "And stay out." There's an ad for a very hunky Kazar series from the late 90s.
Body image issues.
Yes. The barroom brawl continues though, and it looks like there's a Nausicaan.
There is a Nausicaan being beat up by an
Yeah,
Andorian.
Pava is kicking ass, and then they go after what is Ogurun? No, Ogurun?
Yeah, the one with the super powerful powers of perception.
And like the tusks, the lower jaw tusks.
Oh yeah. We find out that he had been in a Romulan prison colony for 10 years.
And then we find out that he is a she.
Yeah.
So this is a female. They are more powerful.
Yes, like most carnivore species.
Yes. And this sort of flashes to Priel back to the fight with the Lamatia, still with a dash.
No. Yeah, so there's some strategizing between her dad, but on also like the reflection of some commander something something,
The Romulan dude.
the Romulan
Yeah.
dude.
And this sort of helps her think about how she can win. And she does like a double Vulcan nerve pinch
She does.
and grabbing onto those traps.
Yeah.
And that puts the Ogurran down. And she's like, "Oh no, I can't find a pulse," but they keep their pulse in another place, much like some species keep their privates in different places, like their kneecaps.
It's true. That a
Sartek 6.
yes.
Slash Section 31. And then they are like, "All right, time to go back." And I like the transporter pads are just sort of out on a plaza. Like it's
Yeah,
that easy to get places.
we've seen that before. Which, how nice would that be?
Yeah. Back at the academy, Nog comes back to Matt Decker and he's like, "Hey, I'm sorry. Can we share this comic 50-50? Because I got this when I went back to 1940s Earth."
Yeah. And they're like, let's read it and then we'll hermetically seal it.
Yes. And then we get some other dude coming in. It's Cadet First Class Jim Walters, who is described as the one of the most distinguished upperclassmen on campus, wants to talk to Decker. So Nog leaves, and this Walters is like, why don't you join Red Squad?
Bum, bum, bum.
And that's that issue. In the back, we sort of get like Nog's acceptance messages to Starfleet Academy.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
We also get a glossary of terms like transporter, Klingon, some of the things if you're not already familiar with Star Trek, you wouldn't necessarily have picked up on.
And you can write directly in to Starfleet Academy, Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So I'd say a pretty solid start. We're getting some personalities fleshed out.
We're continuing the themes with T'Priel, and is she a Romulan spy? Is she not? What's happening with her? And Pava being cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nog getting some measure of acceptance. And this, which brings us to Starfleet Academy issue 3, February of 1997.
And we know that it's Red Squad.
Will Matt Decker's first day in the Red Squad also be his last? He's got like a collar and chains around his neck. His hands are in one of those single oven mitt contraptions.
Yep. Handcuffs, but more.
Yes. And he's got the eyes, like the eye style has changed from the first two issues. Like it's a little bit more anime-esque. A little bit more Generation X.
Yeah.
So Matthew, Dennis, Decker, are you ready for the sacrifice?
And what's the title?
Title is Loyalty Test.
So this is an initiation.
It's giving some very Temple of Doom vibes.
Yeah.
There's a knife.
He has to sign in blood to be part of Red Squad.
For being a member of Red Squad is pure sacrifice. We sacrifice all other loyalties. We would even sacrifice our lives for the good of the squad. The chains that bind and symbolize the oath that binds each member of Red Squad to one another, forming an unbreakable chain, the ultimate core of Starfleet cadets, the best of the best.
It's like, baby, you just joined a cult.
Very much so. There's candles, there's robes, there's a ceremonial knife that he has to slash his hand with.
And then there's a distress call.
Yeah. That in Antwerp, the peace conference between the Federation and the Romulans has been bombed. Everyone's dead. So they end the holodeck simulation. Let's move, Red Squad. The Federation needs us. It's a very toxic mask.
It is. And this correlates to DS9.
Yes. So we get a few days later. This coincides with the events of the DS9 episodes Homefront and Paradise Lost. Because Kamala's getting a blood sample drawn.
Yes.
Because back then, changelings couldn't maintain the simulation of a bit of themselves that has been taken away.
So it'd be all gold.
Right.
In the test tube.
It would revert. So even Pava's like, why Starfleet wants to sample our blood?
Yeah.
And then we get the context of the blood screening is the only way to identify shapeshifters. After all, it was a shapeshifter who bombed the peace conference. And Pava's like, but isn't this overreach? Like, this seems like a bit much. So there's some extent of it's justified because changelings are an enemy that we have never seen before. We don't know how to defend ourselves against it. There's always the weird thing about Vulcan's green blood. So that you'd think they'd be over it, especially since Pava clearly has blue blood.
Yeah.
So we get Decker coming in with his Red Squad friends.
Ugh.
Very much a you can't sit with us vibe.
Yeah, it's already getting insufferable and they've been around for like two pages.
Yeah. The Parisius Squares champion is behind him. Jim Walters is in front of him. It's a Red Squad sandwich.
No.
And still very much like, don't talk to them. You're part of us now. So there's a mission coming. And then we're going to go on a ski trip to Mars.
Ugh.
Like,
they're the worst.
They are like super bougie.
Yep.
I know people like this exist, but it's still hard.
Yeah.
So There's another one of there's another situation where Nog's like, hey, can you help me with this? And Deckard's like, yeah, sure. Oh, wait, no, I can't because I'm getting looks from Red Squad. But I'll make it up to you somehow. And Nog tries to like play it cool. And Papa's like, did you see that? Deckard sloughed off Nog like a vegan thread serpent sloughs off its skin. And to Priel with the shade. I admit I do not understand human emotions, and considering the cruelty they seem to often engender, I prefer not to. And Papa's like, yeah, green's beginning to look a lot more normal compared to the ice water that's in Deckard's veins.
Oh.
So a little bit of dissension happening.
Which is not good for our new squad.
No. So they're in like the self-defense class, which where I presume everyone learns the two-fisted punch method.
Yeah, the starter punch.
Yes. And Decker shows up a little bit late and he's like, oh, who's ready to pair up with me? And Nog is volunteering, but Pa was like, actually, Nog and I already committed to work out together, which creates one of those gulping moments with Nog of like, oh no, she's going to beat me up. And even Kamala's like, well, to Prelia, to Priel, too many vowel
It
sounds.
is.
And I are already learning heaps from each other. And even to Priel is like, it would be illogical to change partners at this time. So Zund beats up Decker, and rightfully so, for him being such a jerk to his team. But she also takes a moment to plant something on the back of his head, which he doesn't seem to notice. Which I imagine that like they have to make it big enough to show up in a drawing. So we can see that she planted something on him. So back in Red Squad headquarters, Decker's getting the debrief of the fact that Red Squad is going to introduce a virus into the Earth's power grid, which is going to shut everything down, planet will go dark, and that's our mission. But Decker's like, no, that's sabotage and treason. We can't do that. And Decker tries to be sly and activate his comm badge and then be like, I wasn't paying attention. Can you say that all again? But the
But
head
he gets
guy,
caught
yes,
real quick.
very much. So I'm disappointed, Matthew. We trusted you. We thought you knew what loyalty was. You leave us no choice. We'll secure you until the mission is completed. So Decker uses some moves from that training session.
And starter punches.
Star Trek punches.
A roundhouse kick, maybe.
No, it's a can-can high kick.
Okay.
It is that foot is at head level. He runs away. He's like, I don't know who to tell. Oh, wait, there's an admiral.
Oh no, but what admiral is it?
It is Admiral Layton,
Yep.
the one who ordered the whole thing. So.
And he's like, no, you can't fuck this up.
Especially now that you know that I ordered it.
So we're going to put you in a transporter buffer
Yes.
for a few days. And one of the other people is like, won't that kill him when the power goes out? And he's like, well,
Whoopsies, transporter accidents happen all the time. That's how we got two Rikers.
yep. So
Yeah. So on off elsewhere, Nog and Jake are hanging out, and Jake is like, these Red Squad people sound like jerks. But Nog is like, I want this. They can be good people. They must be if they're the best of the best.
Oh.
And then there's some Boothby reference to soil that's worth fighting for.
Yep.
Blah blah blah. We get a poster for some radio control trucks
Yes.
that if I were my nephew, I'd be super into. He got a radio control digger. It's a big hit. So, Nog tries to get a hold of Decker, and Nog is like, I'm gonna go fight for some soil. I think this is gonna be worth fighting for. Like, his friendship with that doesn't exist with Matt Decker.
Yeah.
So, clearly, something's happening. And the comm badge goes off that's been taken off of him. They're like, Decker, play it cool. Don't say anything suspicious. And so he says, Leave me alone, Nog. We used to be friends, but that's all over. Go play with someone your own size. And then they shove him in a transporter. Not as fun as Uhura shoving someone into the closet.
No. So, is this where we skip ahead a little?
We do. Omega Squad comes in the nick of time. But we find out it's not actually the nick of time. It's actually 6 days later.
Yeah.
So Nog figured out what was happening. They did follow the tracker that Zund planted on Decker's head. And it was like, if the power failed, why aren't I dead? And it's one of the Red Squad people, because I hooked a battery power source to the transporter. I couldn't let Sanchez murder you any more than I can let you ruin our plans. So we got a fight scene, Red Squad versus Omega Squadron. And Tapriel beams half of them away.
It's smart.
Yes. She locks onto their comm badges, so the smart ones kick their comm badges off. Pava, also with a high kick, kicking ass. And the main dude has a standoff with Decker of like, you, how can you do this to us? You're supposed to be one of us. Is it going to be Nog or me? And Decker is like, it's going to be Nog. And Phaser's the dude. So afterwards, we get a fishing expedition with Decker and Nog, where they talk about how the code was, we used to be friends, like the Dandy Warhol song, when in fact they had never been friends. So that's how they knew something was wrong. And when Decker gets to his quarters, Decker, you traitor, we'll get you someday.
It's written in
red paint that's supposed to be blood?
I don't know.
Maybe it is blood, who knows? Red Squad is dead, but its true disciples live on. Next issue, enter the Klingons.
Ooh.
Which, if you know my feelings about Klingons, meh. But it sets up, like, the dynamics are being set up in a really cool way.
Yeah. Good character construction, I'd say.
Yes.
Very Star Trek. We get lots of different touch points that are familiar for longtime Star Trek fans, but also just like in issue two, where they gave a glossary of terms, new people to Star Trek can be like, okay.
So that's how a transporter works.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun so far.
Yeah.
And in issue three, the promise is the letters will start next issue.
Ah.
So we'll get to see how some reactions feel.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
There's an ad for some Marvel Masterpiece trading card sets, which are giving Hildebrand vibes.
Mm.
And glossary of Star Trek terms. Dilithium crystals, even though I don't think dilithium was in this one.
No.
Deflector shield, cloaking device, the Borg. Shapeshifters, the Dominion Quadrant.
There's also a Starfleet Academy entrance exam where the first person to send in an entirely correct one would get a prize from editor Bobby Chase's desk.
Oh. Oh, that explains dilithium, because the first question is, in the absence of a dilithium-regulated matter-antimatter reactor, crumple energy levels can be generated through the use of nuclear fusion, quantum singularity, tachyon field, ambient cosmic ray collectors, which is an Alpha Flight reference. So that, if you know the Star Trek TNG episode with Romulans, a quantum singularity is what powers Romulan warbirds.
Mm.
There's a history of science section, a history of the Federation section. Founding members of the Federation include A, Earth and Beta Zed, B, Earth and Vulcan, C, all of the above, D, none of the above.
Ooh.
Which one?
I'd say C.
No. Beta Zed was not in the founding. Oh,
I thought it was.
It was Vulcans, humans, Tellarites, and sometimes Vigelians.
Oh, not Andorians?
Oh, and Andorians.
Okay.
Not Andorians.
Oh, no. We don't know because the answers are given next issue.
Yeah.
There's not even the upside down key.
It's true. Otherwise, that'd be too easy.
Yes.
Ooh, there's a math one. You're given two newborn tribbles. Neither is pregnant at the time you receive them. One reproduces at a rate of six offspring every 12 hours. The other reproduces at a rate of eight offspring every 18 hours. Assuming an abundant food supply, zero mortality, and that the offspring have reproductive rates that match those of their respective mother, how many tribbles will you have after 72 hours?
Oh, I don't know. This is giving me bad flashbacks to middle school.
I think it's a thing with squares.
I don't know. Maybe you should give some answers to fill this dead air space while you're considering what you're going to answer.
Well, the first one goes through six cycles. Oh, it's also got factorials because, like,
We'll give an answer in the next Starfleet Academy episode.
I would need to get some scratch paper and a pencil.
Yeah.
I see why, like, they put hard things in here,
Yeah.
because then not everyone would be able to get
Yeah.
a thing.
So I'm excited to read the rest of the series.
Yeah. I mean, it's set up better than some Star Trek series.
Yeah, on TV, so.
Yeah. Like, it's nice to have backstories for people. Like, I missed that.
Yeah.
So.
Let us know your thoughts about this. We'll post some images from these three comics because, of course, you can't read them online. Well, you can. You just have to know where to look, but definitely not on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
So, let us know where you fall on Starfleet Academy. Are you excited to hear more?
Did you also get scratch paper and a pen to solve that tribble math problem?
Yeah. And we'll catch you here next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.